Hey, thank you for joining us. We're in part two of our New Year sermon series, Small Wins Add Up. And I'm grateful for you joining us for this second installment. Hopefully you had a chance to catch part one. If not, you can do that by going to our YouTube page or by going to our website, yourgrovechurch.org. All right, so let's jump in. Let's dive right into part two of our series. And in this series, Small Wins Add Up, this series is all about taking small steps to make incremental improvement in your faith and your life, to turn your life around, to become a better version of yourself in 2024. And so we can become better versions of ourselves by putting the things of God first in our life, right? Last week we talked about New Year's resolutions being a big part of everyone's year, and you might be putting health or wealth or other priorities in front of the main priority, and that is making God priority number one in your life. And so in this series, Small Wins Add Up, we're really talking about the small steps that you can take to changing your life. There's a quote that I heard this past week that I wanted to share that really fits into what this series is all about. And it's a quote that says, "You aspire to great things, begin with little ones." And that comes from Augustine of Hippo. And I'll say that again, you aspire to great things, begin with little ones. And let me tell you, the greatest thing that you can aspire to do this year is to start a relationship, continue a relationship, or build a deeper relationship with God. And the way that we win at doing this is not by biting off more than we can chew, right? We have to get realistic about changing our life. Again, last week we talked about it took you however many years old you are now, it took you that many years to become the version of yourself that you are. And so it's not gonna happen overnight that you change your life, but you got to get realistic about it. And that means not biting off more than we can chew, but taking little steps, capturing little wins that will eventually add up. Last week, we talked about 3 points, and I'll recap those 3 points really quickly here. We won't go into detail of them, but I'll give you all 3 points again. Number one, if you want to turn your life around, start by turning to God. Number two, trust in the Holy Spirit to help you do what you can't do for yourself. And the third point we talked about last week as a starting point to changing your life is don't be discouraged by the idea of starting over. So again, if you didn't get a chance to watch part one, you have an opportunity to do that. Just go back and replay that. And we dig into those 3 points that we just discussed. So today, what I want to do is I want to encourage you with the simple thought that doing great things takes intentional effort. And when you choose to do things like turn your life around for God, it's going to require vigor, determination, mentally and physically, all in the face of what seems like insurmountable odds. But it's possible. And so if last week was like the 3 things that you need to start doing, this week is really encouragement. If you started doing those things, or as you get further along in the year and you're doing those things, today's message is all about encouragement to continue moving forward in those directions. So we're going to pick up our series in Luke chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. So Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And here's what it says. It says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. I'm going to say that last verse, verse 4 again. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. And surplus can mean different things for everyone. It depends on where you're at in your walk with Christ. Maybe you've got years of walking faithfully with the Lord. Maybe you just started last year and you're 1 year down. Congratulations. Wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, think of surplus as the equity that you've put into your walk with Christ. So they have given from their surplus, but she, poor as she is, maybe new to the faith, maybe that's you, maybe you're new to the faith and you haven't built any equity in your faith walk. As poor as she is, she has given everything she has. She's given everything she has. So here's the title of today's message, part 2. The title of today's message, second installment of our series, Small Wins Add Up. The title is Give Everything You Have. Give everything you have. And there's a few things that come from this text that really encourage me that I want us to extract so that you can be encouraged in your walk, so that you can be encouraged to give everything you have. And if there's one thing that I know about putting in any effort into anything, it's that sometimes when you don't see the fruit of your labor, sometimes when you don't see the results right away, we have a tendency to give up. We have a tendency to quit. We have a tendency to give in because we're not seeing the results that we hoped to see right away. But again, this series is all about taking incremental steps to make an improvement in your life. And so maybe you don't see, you know, the fruits of your labor right away. That is okay. But you have to encourage yourself to keep pushing, to keep moving. And that's what the widow in this text really reminds me to do. And it serves as encouragement from me to you to keep moving, to give everything that you have to this faith walk. It might be new, it might be unfamiliar, it might feel lonely, but give everything you have to this faith walk. And as you begin taking these steps, the first thing that I want to encourage you with is God sees your efforts. God sees your efforts. So you don't have to worry whether or not God cares that you're making small steps, whether or not the small steps are important enough for God to care about. God sees your efforts. This story of the widow and her two mites, it is the essence of not despising small beginnings. That's what we talked about last week. Do not despise small beginnings because God loves to see the work begin. He rejoices in seeing the work begin. This widow with her two mites is the essence of not despising small beginnings. It doesn't get much smaller than two mites. These were the smallest denomination of coins in circulation at that time. Think of it this way. The copper coins that she offered, these two coins added up to a penny. The two coins combined added up to a penny. And so in today's term, a mite would be worth about 1/8 of a cent. And again, that seems so insignificant. But when you think about what her equity looked like, when you think about what she had, those two mites, as insignificant as they might seem on the surface, that was everything she had. And she gave everything that she had. And so the size of the gift didn't matter to her. It didn't matter that that's all that she had. It was all about her willingness to intentionally give from her heart and to give everything that she had. And the big gifts in the temple that were being given out around, you know, at that time, as she's given her small two mites, they were definitely noticed by people, because the rich, when they would drop it in to the bucket, they made a show out of it. They made a spectacle out of it. And so you could imagine, if you could visualize, here the rich folks are dropping in their money and celebrating and having all of this hoopla. And then you have this widow with her two mites and dropping it in the bucket. And it might have sounded and seemed so insignificant, but it was a big deal. The rich people called attention to themselves while they were giving. But here's the reality. Jesus saw what no one else did. Jesus saw what no one else did. He saw this poor widow's humble gift. And so this was the gift that Jesus thought was worthy enough to highlight and talk about. This was the act that the disciples needed to be aware of. As they were going through their training with Jesus, Jesus points out this widow given these two mites as a way of teaching them, like, hey, here's the thing that you need to be worried about. It's not the ones who make the most noise about their gift or their talent or how long they've been walking with Jesus, but it's really about the person who is committed to giving everything that they have. And so he's showing the disciples and he's showing us what we need to be aware of. It's about the person who comes humbly to God and says, listen, I know it doesn't seem like much. I know I've just been walking this thing out with you. I know I've just been building a relationship with you. I know I just came back to church, but your just in your mind and from your perspective is not a just in God's perspective. It's a big deal to God. And so it was almost like a coaching moment for Jesus with the disciples, a coaching moment for them so that they could see what he truly cared about and what they should be caring about. There's a quote that came to mind as I was preparing, and it says this. It says, the other gifts in the treasury that day made a lot of noise as they jingled into the receptacles, but the widow's mites were heard in heaven. So it didn't matter that they had this celebration around their riches that they were bringing in. It didn't matter. It was the condition of the widow's heart that made her two mites dropping into the bucket ring in heaven. And so Jesus said of the widow, she has put in more than all. Think about that. He's in this moment, he's contrasting the giving of the rich with her sacrifice. And what he says is, I know it seems like they've given more, but she's put in more than all of them. And so to her, it wasn't just an offering. To her, it meant so much more because it was everything. Have you ever given everything that you have to something? Maybe it was to a job. Maybe it was to a sport. Maybe it was to a relationship. But you know, just based on how you feel and how mentally and emotionally and maybe physically drained you are because you've given everything that you have to give. And so that was the widow in this story, is that she had given everything that she had. And who knows what her experience was as she was walking away. But I can guarantee that when you give everything that you have, especially emotionally or financially, when you give everything that you have, that takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot out of you. But she was giving us an example of how we ought to approach God by giving him everything that we have. And so if you've started this faith journey and maybe you're taking some steps this year to change your life and you're like, man, these steps feel so insignificant. I haven't gotten nearly as far as I thought I would, or I haven't felt nearly as great as I thought I would. Maybe that's where you're at. My encouragement is for you to understand that God sees your efforts. Even when you think no one is watching, remember to give everything you have because God sees that effort. God sees baby steps you're taking to improve your marriage, even if your spouse doesn't. God sees the prayers you're praying for your children's deliverance, even if your children don't feel it. God sees your commitment to bring your family back to church, even if they fight you every Sunday morning or every weekday that you go to Bible study, even if your family fights you to where you feel like you're in an all-out war, don't give up because God sees your efforts. this year, as you begin to take those steps to incrementally improve your life, like we've been talking about, or improve your faith, remember that no matter how small of a step it is, no matter how small of a step it is, God sees that effort. God sees you moving in the right direction. Don't be discouraged because your life doesn't look full of faith like someone else's life, or because someone else is deeper in their walk with Jesus. Don't get discouraged by that. Understand and be confident and encouraged that God sees even the little steps that you're taking. Instead of worrying about everyone else, focus on what you can do every single day to put in the effort to give yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus. Don't focus on everyone else. Focus on what you can do day by day. Take it step by step, day by day. And in the moments when you feel like it's not working or it's not equating to much, remind yourself of the widow. When it seems like your effort doesn't matter, or no one is acknowledging how far you've come, remember the one your efforts matter to the most, and know that He cares. Your efforts, may not matter to a family member. It may not matter to a coworker, but the one who matters the most cares about your effort. And so understand that God sees it. Here's a quote that says, "The one who sees eternity sees you, and it all counts." Again, the one who sees eternity sees you and the steps that you're taking to rebuild your life, and it all counts. Every single step in the right direction, it all counts. The next thing that the widow encourages us with is that your effort reflects your beliefs. Your effort reflects your beliefs. And here's the way that I think about it. If you truly believe that God is who He says He is, then your actions and your behavior should reflect this belief. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, everything that we feel should flow from what we believe. And so this is the essence of faith, right? This is the essence of faith. I believe in God, and as a result, I live a certain way that reflects what I believe. That is the essence, the true essence of faith, is that even though I can't see it, I believe it, and I start taking action towards what I can't even see. And so your efforts should reflect your belief. That's what you got to be encouraged with. This is basically what this widow teaches us. Let your efforts reflect your beliefs. Think about it. The chest or the bucket or receptacle that the widow puts her coins in, it was likely what they describe as being one of six different receptacles in this temple area. So one of six different areas where she could have dropped in her coins. And so what that tells us is that having these multiple receptacles meant that she was dedicating what was known, or what would have been known as, a free will offering at that time. So let's back this up again. It wasn't that she was obligated to give. It wasn't that it was that time of the year that she brought in her offering. No, this was a free will offering on her behalf. So think about that. Sometimes when you're forced out of tradition, or you're forced just out of the time period to do certain things, it kind of feels like you have no choice. In this situation, she had a choice. She could have kept those two mites, even though it seemed like it was insignificant. She could have kept those two mites. Again, it was everything that she had. She could have kept it, but she decided that it was worth more to give. And so that means she had absolutely, again, no obligation to donate at all. However, she recognizes that in her giving, that she's giving to God. And so think about that. Even though no one's forcing you to change your life, nobody's putting a gun to your head, nobody's telling you that you absolutely have to change or else. No, nobody's telling you that. But in this story with the widow, she has a free will offering that she's able to give, and she chooses to do that. And I imagine that she does so because she trusts God. She trusts God to take care of her so she can give this offering freely, knowing that God is still going to take care of her. And so she believed that God was a provider. What else would she give? Why else would she give everything that she owned if she didn't believe that God was a provider? Her devotion to God was her first priority. And again, we started this message by describing, hey, we might have some other priorities coming into this new year that we want to focus on, but God should be our first priority because of what we believe. If you truly believe that God is who he says he is in the word of God, then he should be your first priority in everything that you do. To put this practically, I think about this in terms of an if-then type of faith. And I don't mean like, okay, if God does this, then I'm going to react. No, I think of it a little bit differently. When I think about your efforts reflecting your belief, here's how I think about it. If we believe that God can cause his peace, which transcends all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds, then we will be intentional about being anxious for nothing and in every situation. Then we will instead pray to God, right? Like if we truly believe that God can cause his peace, which transcends all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds, then we will be intentional about being anxious for nothing and in every situation praying to God. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Here's another example. If we believe that the Lord can renew our strength and cause us to run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, then we will have faith enough to wait for the Lord. If you believe that God is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do in his word, then you will respond accordingly. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. If we believe the Lord can renew our strength and cause us to run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, then we will have faith enough to wait for the Lord. Here's another example. If we believe the Lord can establish us as his holy people, as he promised, then we will keep the commands of the Lord our God and walk in obedience to him. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. Here's the last one. If we believe God can cause all things to work together for our good. This is a very familiar passage of scripture from Romans 8, 28. You should know the rest. Then we will love the Lord with all of our heart. The if of the equation is what we believe about God. And as a result, what we believe about God, that's when the then part of the equation comes in. Because I believe God, I'm going to move before he acts. Scripture doesn't tell us what happens to this widow after she gave the two mites, but here's what I imagine. If I'm keeping the same logic of if then, what I imagine followed is something very familiar along the if then trend. And that is that what Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says. It says, if you are faithful in little things, then you will be faithful in large ones. So I can only imagine that because she was faithful in these little things, that God somehow worked it out for her to where she had more than she could have even imagined. And I imagine that she was faithful to that as well. Here's a quote that comes to mind. It says this, another quote from Augustine of Hippo. It says, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. And so if I could tie this in with this point of your effort should reflect your belief, I might say it this way. Effort to reflect what you believe is to believe what you do not see. The reward for this effort is to see what you believe. And so at the end of the day, regardless of how you're feeling, regardless of what everyone else might think, your effort towards changing your life should reflect your belief. If you believe that God is who he says he is, the God of the Bible that we read about, if you truly believe that that is who he says he is, then your effort, your forward progression and movement and everything that you do and think and feel should reflect what you believe. Here's the last point that the widow teaches us in this text. Here's what I believe. Your efforts are judged by God. Your efforts are judged by God. Check this out. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Here's what it says. It says, there's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others. And this is the Message translation. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. All right, I just butchered that. So let me say that all over again. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. It says, there's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. Can I put it in today's terms? I'm going to say it very clearly as I can, and I hope I don't offend anyone, but here's how I would think of that. I make this point that your efforts are judged by God because who cares what people think about your plans this year to change your life and to live for God? Who cares? Who cares what people think? You have an obligation to please God, not man. They don't realize it anyway, or they don't realize it now, but even your efforts to change your life are going to produce a harvest in their life as well, simply by them being connected to you. But at the end of the day, whether they agree with you or not, whether they think this is a real transition or not, whether they're hating on you or not, keep moving forward, because they don't get to judge you. God does, not man, God. So let's live life to please God. Everything that we do this year to change our life, let's do it to please God. Let's think about the widow for a minute. Let's go back to her for a moment. Here's a woman who, based on her wealth and based on what she had to her name, again, that's two mites, half a penny. Based on what she had, she was the one who was in need of receiving, you know, all types of handouts, anything that she could have gotten. She, if anyone was in a position to receive, and I know the Bible says it's better to give than receive, but if there was anyone in a position to receive, it was her. But yet here she is giving from her heart. Now think about it. Can you imagine what people in that day might have been saying about her? People who knew her, people who understood her situation. They're probably looking at her crazy, like, why are you over here giving these two half a penny? Why are you over here giving this? Like this, you need all that you can get. There's no reason why you should be donating anything. And if you think about how people today might think, like, they probably are thinking, like, Jesus don't want that. The temple don't want that. They don't need that. Look at all these other people who are giving all these elaborate gifts, and the celebrations are going on. And here you are with your two little mites. They probably looked at her like she was crazy. Not only that, but the amount she was giving seemed negligible. What could half a cent buy? I mean, realistically, what could half a cent buy? But I'm so grateful that she didn't allow the people of that day to sway her opinion or sway her thoughts or ultimately sway her faith. She gave it anyway, in faith to God, believing that God could use it. Even if they thought no one else could, she believed that God could use it. And she dropped it into that bucket, knowing that God is going to get glory out of this. And so her faith is evident in that fact that she gave the last of her money. Her faith was on full display. She had nothing left. She gave the last of her money, and she gave it away because it was to God. She knew that this was her last means of self-support. But again, she trusts God, and she gave out of her faith. So here's what we know. Jesus didn't see her gift as negligible. Jesus didn't see that. In fact, remember, he says the widow gave more than the others. And so he wasn't referring to more in the sense of what she had in the bank. No, it wasn't about dollar signs to Jesus. No, when he describes that she gave more, what he's referring to is, and that's part of it, but what he's referring to is it was all about the attitude in which she was giving. It was all about her attitude. She may not have been able to give monetarily like everyone else, but she offers her whole self to God. And this is the heart that Jesus is looking for. As you take this journey this year, small wins add up. As you set out to collect those small wins, don't do it because you think it's gonna please other people. Don't do it because you think it's gonna help someone else, or you're doing it because your mother has been telling you you need to get back in church. No, do it because you're doing it for God. This widow, she wasn't able to give like everyone else. That was very clear. But what she could give, her full self, she did exactly that. And this is what we're judged on. This is what is judged at the end of the day. Not whether you made lots of money, but your heart and your decision making to give all of it to Jesus, to give all of yourself away, that's what you're going to be judged on. Who cares if you make a lot of money in this life? All of these riches, all of these things will pass away. The thing that remains is your soul and where you're going to spend eternity. That's what we should be focused on. That's what the widow did. She decided, forget the monetary value of these two mites. This is what I have, so I'm going to give what I have. She understood that her efforts were going to be judged by God. No matter what people thought, she understood her efforts were going to be judged by God. Here's Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 36. It describes a little bit of what I'm talking about here. It says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. I really hope that text encourages someone that while it might feel like changing your life for good and for God is giving up a lot. And man, you're having to put a lot of temptations down and a lot of desires of your heart down. That might be true. And the things that might have felt good in life, you might be leaving behind. And that absolutely is true. Sure. But at the end of the day, when you lose your life for the sake of the good news, that's actually when you find it. When you lose your life for the sake of the good news, that is when you find it. And so don't allow people's thoughts and feelings about you making these decisions coming into this new year to sway you at all. Do what you know is going to please God. Do what you feel is going to honor God. And here's the other thing. I think we're also judged by whether our motives and our intentions are in the right place as well. Am I doing it to please or to win the praises of my parents, of my friends, my pastor, or am I doing it to please God? Because if I'm doing it to please God, then that is what matters. If I'm doing it to please others, then that's not genuine faith. That's not genuine life change. That is simply saying, similar to what the rich people in the temple were doing, I'm making all of this noise about the wealth and what I'm giving so that you will see me as someone wealthy and give me all this applause. And that mattered zero to Jesus. Jesus cared about the widow who came and gave everything that she had. She didn't have anything else except those two mites, and she dropped that in. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says it this way. It says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Again, at the end of the day, your efforts are judged by God. Here's something I want to leave you with, and here's the challenge. Challenge for us this new year. Give everything that you have. Give everything that you have. Don't think twice about it. Don't try to rationalize what this means for you. Give everything you have. Not because it's trendy or because it might please someone close to you. You know, maybe you're trying to win, you know, the affection of someone. So you're coming back to church or you want to be seen as a good Christian, you know, female or male. Don't do it for those reasons. But give everything that you have to please and bring glory to God. Because at the end of the day, that is what's going to last. Not anything else. When you do it for God, when you do it to please God, that is what is going to last. So again, let's recap really quick here. Give everything that you have. And we do that because God sees our efforts. Even if you think like, man, I'm on board with making this change in my life, but I'm not seeing any results immediately. Keep going. Keep pushing. God sees your efforts. Your effort should reflect your belief. So if you truly believe that God is who he says he is in his word, then your effort is going to reflect what you believe. You're going to move in the direction that God wants you to move because you believe his word. And the last point, your efforts are judged by God. Don't worry about what everyone else is saying. Don't worry about what the world thinks or how the world feels about your changes and your life and what you're doing. Be consumed with doing the will of God for your life, for your life. Just like the widow went in and no one celebrated her for dropping two mites in that bucket. No one was cheering her on for that, but she did it anyway. And you know who saw? Jesus saw. Heaven heard. And so live in such a way, knowing that your efforts are judged by God, not by people. And the judgment that they might place on you doesn't even matter. All right, let's pray. Wherever you're at, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray with every single person who's watching this message. Not only do I want to pray over your efforts this year, but I also want to pray a prayer of salvation in just a moment here. And so if you're coming into this year and you're like, hey, I need to start a relationship. I need to continue and pick up a relationship that I have with God, or I need to build a deeper relationship with God. I want to pray that you would not be discouraged, but you would trust that God sees the efforts that you're making to improve your life. That God knows that you are making efforts that reflect your belief and that you absolutely, with the intentionality in your heart, you do that. And I also want to pray that you wouldn't be discouraged by others, but you would understand that only God can judge you. And so, Lord, I thank you right now for the people who are listening or watching this message. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength, that you would give them encouragement, that you would show them that even though these are small steps that they're taking, these small wins add up and they pay big dividends. And so, Lord, I thank you for every single person, every family that's represented in who's watching this message, every single person who's made a decision to follow you and to change their life this new year. Lord, I pray that they would feel the sense of encouragement and peace that comes with following you, knowing that they are making the best decisions that they've ever made in their life. And now I want to pray with those who are making a decision to give their life to Christ. Maybe you're watching this message and like, man, this is the first sermon I've heard in years, or maybe this is the first time I've come to church in years. Maybe you want to give your life back to Christ. Maybe you've walked with Christ before and you need to pick up that relationship again. Wherever you're at in your faith journey, here at The Grove, we believe that our responsibility and one of our goals as a church is to reintroduce the lost to Christ. And so this is an opportunity for us to do that right now. And more importantly, it's an opportunity for you to do business with God, for you to say, okay, Lord, this is it. I'm making a decision to live for you. Regardless of what life has looked like before this moment, this is the perfect opportunity for you to give your life to Christ. So for all of those who are in either of those boats that I just mentioned, let's pray this prayer out loud together wherever you're at, knowing that we are acknowledging our Father. We're acknowledging him as Lord of our lives. We're professing with our mouth out loud what we believe in our heart. So let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So today I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. with this profession of faith, today, in this moment, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you, this is the best decision that you've made all day, all year. Whenever you're listening to this, it's the best decision that you've made up to that point. Even tuning in to this message is not a great decision compared to the decision that you just made to make Jesus Lord of your life. And I want to stress that there's no magic in this prayer whatsoever. But when you purpose in your heart to live for God and to make Him Lord of your life, that's when things change for the better. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for every single person who made that decision. And I pray that you would continue to walk with Christ this year and beyond. Get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, send us a message. Go on our social media, send us a message and let us know that you need a Bible. We will send one via Amazon Prime to your address and we will pay the extra to get it overnight to you. But send us a message. Let us know that you need a Bible because it's important for you to understand what God says about you. And so you got to get into His Word to understand that. Understand what He says about you, and you need to understand who He is by reading His Word. Find some community that you can join. Be a part of the Grove Church. Let us know that you're watching, that you're tuning in so we can connect to you. Find some like believers that you can do life with who will encourage your faith and you can encourage their faith as well. And then the last thing I would encourage you to do is just talk to God. Make a daily practice and habit of talking to God. You don't have to pray for hours on end, but just spend some alone time, intimate time, you and God, talking to one another and learn to listen so that you can hear what God's voice sounds like to you. But let me tell you, if you do those things, I think God is going to change your life. And if I didn't say it enough or stress it enough, you have made the best decision ever when you prayed that prayer to give your life to Christ. So I'm praying for you. Let us know if you accepted Christ by watching this message. We love to partner with you and connect with you and get to know you a little better. But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see y'all on the next message.